My topic for today is topic on salvation, and I know most of the ladies in here have probably already gone through the whole shebang, you know, but I still think this is extremely relevant because, I mean, it's probably the most important thing you could ever do in your life. So, what is salvation? Basically, it's the deliverance from sin and its consequences. So, the consequence of sin is eternal separation from God in hell. It doesn't sound fun. So, who is our salvation? Our salvation is Jesus. And you find it in Jesus. In John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So, why salvation? Why did God choose salvation? Well, it's to serve him as he served us, and then to eventually inherit the kingdom of God. So, John 12:26 says, If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. So, now that we know all this, who exactly is salvation for? Everyone. So, Acts 28:28 says, Be it known therefore unto you, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. So originally, in the Old Testament, salvation was only for the Jews. And God realized, you know, salvation should be for everyone. Everyone can have this. And in Romans 1:16 it says, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek being Gentiles, which is, I guess, all of us know. So, now that we know what salvation is, how do we do it? So, there are 5 steps that have been, I guess, simplified, and the first step would be to hear. So, you must hear the message and understand it. And Romans 10:14 says, How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So how can you believe if you never even hear the message? We have to be those people that make sure that other people hear this message. And Romans 10:17 says, So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Also, you need to know the details of Jesus' life and his teachings to be firm in your belief that he is the Son of God. You need to be studying your Bible, and you need to be knowing what he has done for us, and you need to know that he died for us. And Hebrews 11:6 says, But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So once you hear the message, it becomes your responsibility to take action. And if you stop at just hearing the message, you'll never be saved. James 1:22 says, But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So now that you've heard it, you now have to believe. You must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And 1 John 4:15 says, Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And John 3:18 says, Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. So you must believe that he died, was buried, and was risen, and 1 Corinthians 15:4 says just that. And you must believe that he's coming again, and you must not be ashamed of him. So Mark 8:38 says, If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. Excuse me. So before you can do anything else, you must first believe. Mark 16:16 says, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So once you believe in him, after hearing the message, you can move on to the next step in being saved, which is repenting. And this is probably the hardest part for most people. I know it was for me, because you have to realize that you are a sinner and you've been living in sin. So Luke 13:3 says, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. So what exactly is repentance? That's something that not everyone understands, and I know I didn't for a long time. So repentance is a change of mind that produces a change in behavior. So it's not only realizing that you've been in the wrong, but doing something about it. And Acts 2:38 says, Then Peter said to them, Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So, sorry. Okay. And 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, "For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death." So you must give up your sinful life and start living for the Lord and be unified together in Christ. And if you would all turn with me to Philippians 2, verses 1 through 8. So Philippians 1, oh, yeah, first, I mean, chapter 2, not 1, yeah. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, it says, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." So, once we realize what we've done wrong, we repent, we actively change, and we're there for other Christians who have to do the same. Our life for him will be changed forever, and he'll be ready to receive us. So 1 John 1:19 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So now that we've repented, we have to confess. So we must verbally proclaim what we believe, and that's that Jesus is the Son of God. So Romans 10, verses 9 through 10 says, "That if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." So we're going to go into a story now, and that's the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. I'm sure most people have heard of it. And that will be found in Acts 8, and that's verses 26 through 39. And we don't have to read the whole thing. I'm just going to summarize. Basically, God told Philip that he saw a man, and he said, "Go over to this man." And this man was an Ethiopian eunuch, and he was reading the Bible. He was reading some verses, and Philip asked him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" So he basically said, "How can I understand without someone to help me understand?" And that should be our job. And so Philip explained everything he was reading, and we're just going to read Acts 8:37, and it says, "Then Philip said, 'If you believe with all your heart, you may,' after he asked, 'Could I be baptized?' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.' And immediately he was baptized." So we must always confess our love to God even after we've been saved. Each of us will one day stand before Christ in judgment. And if we confess our belief in Christ to men, he will confess us before God. So if you could turn with me to Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33. So Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33 says, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." So now that we've confessed, heavy stuff, we can be baptized. Now that comes from the Greek word baptisma, baptisma meaning consisting of the processes of immersion, submersion, and emergence. And baptisma is a derivative of the word bapto, meaning to dip. So sprinkling and pouring just won't cut it for this one. So we must be baptized to be saved, immersed to be saved, and we must bury the old us in the water and rise up clean and spotless. So Romans 6, verses 3 through 4 say, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. So without baptism, there is no salvation. Without baptism, none of us would be able to go to heaven. And Mark 16:16 says, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Now, you're saved. You've done all this. You've done all these steps. But it's not once saved, always saved. Now you have to live faithfully. You have to walk the walk and talk the talk. So Revelation 2:10 says, "Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." We must remain faithful and endure struggles for his sake. And Matthew 10:22 says, "And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved." And I'm just going to end this with my favorite verse, and it's Acts 22:16, and it says, "Now what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name."